The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. St. Helena, California, December 3, 1906. I address the members of all our churches. We are living in a special period of this earth's history. A great work must be done in a very short time, and every Christian is to act a part in sustaining the Lord's work. In every home, let there be a spirit of self-denial. It will be a valuable education for the children to be taught to save sums of money for missionary work. Let them, by some service, earn money to donate to the cause of God. Then they will feel that they have some part in the work of saving souls. There is a great work to be done for the colored people, and upon all rests the responsibility of doing everything possible for the uplifting of this neglected race. In every home, there should be self-denial boxes. When any member of the family has an opportunity to deny himself of some unnecessary article, let him put into this self-denial box the sum he would have expended had he yielded to the temptation to gratify his desires. Thus we will assist in relieving the necessities of those who need genuine help. Even the children will find a joy and happiness in the thought that they are laborers together with God. Children, will you not take hold of this work? Will you not deny yourselves in order to help the poor and the needy? You may not be able to give large sums of money, but if all will do this, the many small gifts will make a large amount. In doing this, you will be blessed, as truly as will those for whom the money is spent. How many of you will become missionaries for God? Do not become weary in this good work, for there are a large number of colored people, and we must start schools for them, that they may learn to read and write, and learn about Jesus, and how to live so that they may be ready for heaven. Even the children in the home may be missionaries. You are doing a work that pleases the Lord Jesus when you help father or mother. But do not always wait to be told what to do. Try to see for yourselves what you can do to save the steps of your weary mother. Try always to bring pleasantness to everyone else in the home. Never utter one angry word to father, mother, brothers, or sisters. Never speak a word that would grieve anyone. Remember that you are one of God's little ones. Every member of the family may cheer and help every other member. The older children should be thoughtful and ever kind and tender toward the smaller ones. The angels of God will look down at them in pleasure as they ask the Lord for help to be kind to the little children. If all will heed this instruction, the blessing of God will rest upon the home, and love for one another will increase. A well-ordered home is a blessing to any community. The example of love and harmony thus revealed will lead others to regulate their own homes so that they may be happier. Children, will you try to discipline yourselves and never speak one unpleasant word? Will you try to be the Lord's younger missionaries, to have a care for father and mother, for sisters and brothers? Every angry word you speak hurts yourself and must be repented of if you would enter the school in heaven when Jesus comes. Parents, will you set your children an example of self-denial? All that we have comes from the Lord, and it is right that we return to Him all that we possibly can. Do not feel that it is your duty to give Christmas presents to those who have no need of your bounty, when the Lord's treasury needs all that you can give. Why should you use the Lord's money with which to purchase magazines and unprofitable reading matter? The work with Christ's object lessons and ministry of healing. The book Christ's Object Lessons has been a gift to our schools. Many souls have been converted through the reading of the book, and thousands of dollars have come to our training schools. The good work of selling this book in behalf of our educational work should continue. With but little effort, men, women, and children, ministers, teachers, students, and physicians can, if they will take up the work in faith, sell many copies of this excellent book. Tell the people that you are selling the book to help carry forward the Lord's work, that its sale will train young men and young women for missionary service. In like manner, let our people engage in the work of selling ministry of healing. From the light given me, I know that much may be accomplished for our sanitariums and our schools if these two books are sold interestedly. I have acted my part in the gift of the manuscript, and the Lord will speak words of commendation of those who, with self-denial and a spirit of earnest endeavor, will put forth an effort. Try it, brethren and sisters, and the Lord will certainly help you. An example of liberality. To the church at Corinth, Paul wrote, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord, and unto us by the will of God." 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1-5. The brethren in Macedonia were very poor. In receiving the gospel, they had placed themselves under persecution and oppression. With some, every advantage was denied them because of their faith. Because of their poverty and their trials, they knew how to sympathize with those who were in need. In their poverty, they gave so liberally that the brethren were surprised at the amount raised. The reason for their liberality was that they had in their hearts the love of the truth. They themselves had tasted of suffering. Trusting in the Lord, they had been comforted, and their hearts went out in sympathy to their brethren who were in need. They were willing to deprive themselves of goods and of money to relieve the suffering saints in the church at Jerusalem. Will those of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in every locality first consecrate themselves to the Lord and do their very best, according to their circumstances, to assist in the Lord's work by gifts and offerings? Will they show that they appreciate the blessings of the Lord and are grateful for His mercy? Will they consider their obligations to God now, at the time when the world especially seeks for pleasure and expends large sums of money in gifts to those who are not needy? Will they consider it a privilege to act a liberal part, as heartily as did the churches in Macedonia? I have said to my family and my friends, I desire that no one shall make me birthday or Christmas gifts, unless it be with the permission to pass them on into the Lord's treasury, to be appropriated in the establishments of missions. I will greatly praise the name of the Lord if I can see His people at this time, by the exercise of benevolence, making it possible to increase the facilities for successful work in many needy fields. I long to see among Seventh-day Adventists an increase of faith and courage, and more praise and thanksgiving to God, that where there has in the past been a withholding, there shall from henceforth be seen the evidences of a grateful heart in the bestowal of gifts and offerings to supply the needs of many destitute fields. Paul did not desire to lay a heavy burden upon the church at Corinth, but he brought to their attention the liberal example of the brethren in Macedonia, where, though they were exceedingly poor, yet they had, with thankfulness and willingness, contributed in response to the appeal for help. Titus had been so successful in raising gifts among the churches in Macedonia that Paul desired him to visit Corinth and continue in the same work. Another brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and still another, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, were sent to accompany Titus. Verses 16, 18, 22. Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians, commending to them these brethren who had so willingly undertaken such a difficult task. In this letter, he reminded them of an effort that had been put forth a year previous to raise a contribution at Corinth. He writes, "We desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased, and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now, at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want, that there may be an equality. As it is written, He that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Verses 6 to 15. In the providence of God, by physical skill or ingenious inventions, some may gather more wealth than others. The Lord blesses them with health, with tact, and skill, that they may receive of His goods to bestow upon others who may not have received these blessings. The possession of means constitutes a test of character. All have a part to act as they have received, and from those who possess wealth, the Lord looks for bountiful gifts. Often it is their special privilege to act as the Lord's helping hand to relieve the necessities of the Lord's work in places where a delay to move at the right time would mean the loss of souls who might otherwise be saved. Paul continues, But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward, of his own accord he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and declaration of your ready mind. Verses 16 to 19. Paul's testimony was accepted as of great weight because of the many revelations he had received. He knew better than did many others of the necessities of various places. But Paul was unwilling to take personal charge of the raising of this contribution. He had been largely instrumental in causing it to be raised, but lest any should find occasion to speak evil, Titus and his companions, one of whom some supposed to be Luke, made the journey to Corinth, for there was no safe way of transporting money at that time. Avoiding this, Paul declares, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore show ye to them, and before the churches, the proof of your love and of our boasting in your behalf. Verses 20 to 24. If men would only consider that every favor they receive is a gift from God, would they not do very much more than they now do to relieve His work of the embarrassments of poverty? Would they not act a noble part in rendering to the Lord His own? Wealth hoarded becomes moth-eaten. Often the Lord cannot preserve and bless the things they possess, because men feel under no obligation to assist in the great work of sounding the truth in new places. Prosperous crops, fruit, and other products of the earth can all be used in helping greatly the work in places where our brethren are struggling with but meager facilities. Your substance generously divided will bring in return the blessing of God. The Lord desires that there shall be thousands of minds desirous of helping to open new fields in various places, that the gospel may be carried to those who have never heard of the precious news of the great gift of God to our world. God does not estimate the value of individuals by their wealth. Christ Himself, the Lord of glory, was in this earth a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knew the meaning of want and privation. As a child, subject to poverty, He practiced the principles of self-denial. He, who formerly led Israel in the wilderness through Moses, came to help fallen, needy humanity. And He expects His followers, to whom He has entrusted means, to bind about their own supposed wants and to be liberal in relieving the necessities of others. No charity is complete unless it reveals an appreciation of the gospel. Those who now, in this time of emergency, seek to hold on to their means will soon suffer the loss of all that they have. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, immortalized words that every church needs to consider. He sought to impress upon those who had more than sufficient for their immediate necessities that those who are truly converted will impart freely to their poorer brethren. The Apostle continues, For as touching the ministering of the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready, as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them, and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 1-15. The Lord has made many promises to those who are liberal. Through David he says, Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him, and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. Psalm 41, verse 1-3. Among needy fields that require financial assistance, the southern states have been often presented to me. Here, as in many other places, should be established sanitariums, and connected with these sanitariums, there should be schools where students may receive a special training in medical missionary work. The students should put to the tax every capability that God has given them, not only as learners, but in the imparting of the light that God sends to them. During the period of their education, they should be taught to help others. To all our people, I bear a message. If we will be sanctified, soul, body, and spirit, to do the will of the Lord, He will walk in our midst as a light from heaven. Let there be a breaking up of every selfish method of labor, and let each help the other, all as one great converted brotherhood. Shall we follow Christ as our pattern? He came to teach men by His example. In His work of self-sacrifice was seen not one jot or tittle of selfishness. He who was rich in the heavenly courts left all His riches and power and came to this world, clothed in the humble garb of humanity. For our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. Like Him, His followers are to be a blessing to the world. If the character of Christ were only revealed in all His professed followers, we should see thousands more being converted. All need to heed the Savior's invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28-30. Those who find their rest in Christ will not be deceived by the deadly heresies that fill the world. Every one is to be severely tested, and only those who are well grounded in the truth will be able to stand. Let God's people now not merely believe, but practice the will and the way and the words of Christ. The cause of God will not be greatly advanced by mere commercial business transactions, but by Christian evangelizing efforts. Let not those who look for the Savior's soon coming expend of their means needlessly for foolish show. Let all wear neat, modest apparel. Our means should be prayerfully and carefully handled, for there are many who are in want of the bare necessities of life. We need to bestow temporal food, and when true benevolence is unselfishly manifested, many will be more willing to receive of the spiritual food. We must care for both soul and body. This lesson is taught by the giving of the manna to supply the necessities of God's church in the wilderness. Enshrouded in the pillar of cloud, Christ was the leader of his people. He gave them statutes and laws, that by obedience to his requirements, they might be his denominated people. He bestowed upon them the bounties of heaven, but he expected them, in turn, to share their blessings with others who were less favored. So he deals with his chosen people today. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Mark 12, verse 41 to 44. God has never ordained that men shall look to their fellow men to know their duty. No man sustains the relation of a God to anyone else. We must go to the Lord for counsel. We must pray to him for wisdom. With heart and mind and soul, let us pray, and we will find that the Lord will graciously help us in our extremity. Men are but mortal. They cannot save a soul. They cannot help as does the Lord God of Israel. The Word of God is the great agency in the conversion of sinners. We have seen evidence that when the right keynote is heard, the hearts of men are stirred by a presentation of simple Bible truth, and that they will help in sustaining the work of bringing the truth before the unconverted. In Oakland, a great work is being accomplished by the presentation of Bible evidences of the truth. The words of inspiration are used to explain the Bible, one text throwing light upon another text. There has been an effort to make the Word of God prominent, rather than the words of the speaker, and the Lord has signified his approval of this method of teaching. This is the only successful way of condemning evil and of justifying the truth. Let all our ministers be sure that they are thoroughly converted. At home and in the church, let their words and their thoughts be such as are approved of God. More prayer should be offered by God's people, not formal, but earnest, sincere petitions. The Spirit of God in the heart will prompt prayers that will be effectual, and hearts will be melted and subdued. Many meaningless prayers are offered, vain repetition of words and phrases. These do not bring refreshing grace to the soul. Decided reformations should now be seen among God's people. Let all bickering and strife cease from among church members. It is easy to frame the speech so as to raise a false report against a minister or other member of the church, but this is not profitable. Nothing gratifies the enemy more than to see the people of God at strife among themselves. We all need the daily, converting power of the grace of God, for many of our churches are backslidden. They do not reveal the genuine Christian life and the spirit of the Master. 100-fold more might be done than is being done to spread the gospel message nigh and afar off. God is calling for men who will consecrate themselves to the work of soul saving. Those who desire to be regarded by God as liberal should devote their mind, their heart, their very being to his service. When we comprehend the infinite sacrifice of Christ to save a perishing world, there will be seen a mighty wrestling to save souls. Oh, that all our churches might see the sacrifice of Christ as it has been presented to me! There would surely be a mighty effort to become converted. I have a message for our churches nigh and afar off. There is to be a deeper consecration than has yet been seen, or many will be unprepared to enter the holy city. With some there is a desire to be first, to rule. This is right, to desire to be first in good works, in attaining the Christian graces. But to many the words of Christ as recorded in the 7th chapter of Matthew are applicable today. Read and study this chapter carefully. These are the words of Christ, and it is for every individual to make diligent work for his own salvation. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, as my disciples, for such ye were not. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Verses 13 to 27. These words should be carefully examined, for many will be deceived by the enemy. Thinking themselves to be doing the Lord's work, they refuse to obey his commandments. They refuse to be corrected, and Satan's angels lead them on in deception until they are forever lost. Many are carrying with them hereditary and cultivated traits of character that can never find entrance into the kingdom of God. They may be quick-sighted to discern the faults of others, but they are blind to their own shortcomings. If they were to make a greater effort to perfect their own characters, they would reveal a spirit of patience and kindness to others. If any man is lost, it will be because he persists in having his own way and refuses to humble his heart before God and die to self. Oh, shall we not all, without further delay, make a covenant with God by the sacrifice of our will and of our pride? Shall we not pray earnestly, seeking the Lord with the whole heart and soul? To such prayers, Christ will respond. A few days ago, in the night season, I saw a representation. There seemed to be a great reformatory work among God's people. Many were praising God. The sick were healed, and other miracles were wrought. A spirit of intercession was seen, even as manifested before the great day of Pentecost. Hundreds and thousands were visiting families and opening to them the Holy Scriptures. The power of the Holy Spirit was convicting hearts, and a spirit of genuine conversion was seen. On every side there were doors thrown open to the proclamation of the truth. The world seemed to be enlightened with heavenly influences. Great blessings came to the true and humble people of God. I heard voices of thanksgiving and praise, and there seemed to be such reformations as we witnessed in 1844 and 45. Yet some refused to be converted and to choose God's way. To carry on the work of the Lord, calls were made for liberal free will offerings, and many selfishly clung to their earthly possessions. These became separated from the company of believers. The Lord's message to his church is, "Work, work earnestly while probation lingers." We have been, as a people, benumbed. Matters of but little importance have been brought in to absorb means and talent. Some would invest much capital in the food business and lay out large sums of money in the enterprises that will give but small results in the salvation of souls. These are snares of the enemy. The world is perishing for the bread of life. The enemy of souls would be greatly pleased if we were to be kept busy upon things of little importance and lose our present opportunities to work in the cities. We need now to awake out of sleep and warn the large cities before the time is past when we can safely labor in them. Soon the work will be finished, and now is our time to work with intense energy and industry. The means that comes into the treasury must be judiciously and wisely expended.
Where are my messengers, saith the Lord,
Why is there not seen among my people a greater burden for the souls of those who have not heard the message of warning? Our workers should dwell much on the prophecies and the scenes brought to view in the books of Daniel and the Revelation. These books especially contain the message for our time. In the 14th chapter is given the last message of mercy to the world. This last testing message should now be brought before all people. In the 18th chapter of Revelation is given the call to the churches to come out of Babylon. The time has now come when all God's people must be gathered into a company and denominated as His special people, keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The world must be warned, and there must be a decided reformation among our churches. Some are earnestly and faithfully presenting the Word of God to the people, but many others should unite with these faithful laborers to present the Bible truths in their order. Let the Bible speak for itself. Eating the Word, receiving the Word, believing the Word, this will bring about the greatest reformation ever yet seen. Our past experience, under the power of the Holy Spirit, is to be revived. We must carry on the Lord's work unitedly. Firmly and decidedly, we are to proclaim the words of God. But we must guard against creating unnecessary prejudice. Let no one, in conversation or in discourse, give sharp thrusts, for by this means doors have been closed and opportunities have been. If all our churches had been wide awake, we would not now see poisonous influences at work, and many who ought to understand the truth being taken in the snares of Satan's sophistry. Satan is at work among God's people, even as he worked among the angels in the heavenly courts. The judgments of God are in the land, and our testimonies are to be given under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, just now, is our time to work under the sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit. We must give the message quickly, line upon line. Men will be forced to a decision, and it is our part that they are given an opportunity to understand the truth, so that they may take their stand intelligently on the right side. Every church member has an individual work to do. A greater effort should be put forth from house to house, holding Bible readings and distributing literature. No character can be symmetrically and completely formed unless it is considered a privilege to work interestedly in the proclamation of the truth and to sustain the cause of God with means. The treasury must not be allowed to become empty when there are such urgent calls for help from every part of the world. Again, I say to all who desire to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, take up the work where you are, and with your donations you may also help the work in places afar off. It is the duty of those who remain in the home field to sustain the laborers among people of other languages and other religions, to bring them to a saving knowledge of the truth. Cut off every unnecessary expense in every line, and let self-sacrifice be your aim. May God help us to view the situation as He views it.